Hello and welcome to the latest edition of ICTJ podcast series. Today we are talking about a case coming from South Africa where on May the 20th, the family of disappeared anti-apartheid activist Nokutula Simelane filed an application before the Pretoria High Court compelling the National Director of Public Prosecutions and the Minister of Justice to refer the kidnapping, torture, disappearance and murder of Simelane to a formal inquest. This case is aimed at bringing closure to the 32-year-old abduction, torture and enforced disappearance of Nokutula Simelane. In 1983, she was abducted, tortured and forcibly disappeared by members of the security branch of the former South African police. She was a 23-year-old university graduate and acted as a courier for the armed wing of the African National Congress, moving between Swaziland and South Africa. Her remains have never been found. The family has been denied the right to bury their daughter with the dignity she deserves, and this filing carries a special significance. Today we are joined by ICTJ's own Howard Varney, who is also acting on behalf of Southern Africa Litigation Center as one of the lawyers assisting the family of Nokutula Simelane. Hi, Howard. Welcome to ICTJ's podcast.
Thank you, Rafik.
Can you tell us what is the significance of this filing, which has attracted a lot of attention, not only in South Africa, but also globally?
It has immense significance for hundreds of victims and their families who have been waiting for answers and waiting for justice. In some cases, as in this one, for more than 30 years. And why this case is so significant is that it really does compel the South African authorities to face up to their responsibilities. As you and the listeners are aware, South Africa entered into a groundbreaking approach to transitional justice in which perpetrators were invited to come forward and speak the truth. And if they did, they were then granted amnesty. And as we all know, those who were denied amnesty or didn't apply for amnesty were meant to face the consequences. They were meant to face justice. And it is that very key aspect that the South African authorities have not been able to pursue. And in this case, we're saying those obligations are both legal and moral, and the obligations must in fact be met, because a failure to do so not only disrespects the legacy of South Africa's transition, but it also deeply undermines the human dignity of the families of these victims. So I think, Rafik, that perhaps is the most telling significance that arises from the case that was filed this week.
Can you, for the listeners who are not familiar with the situation in South Africa when it comes to cases, and let's make it clear, the case of Nokutula Simelane is not the only case where there has been no action by the National Prosecution Authority or any judicial inquest, although there was no application for amnesty by the alleged perpetrators. Just walk us through what in fact happened or did not happen that resulted in this need for action on behalf of her family.
Well, that's absolutely correct. This is by no means an isolated case. In actual fact, when the Truth Commission closed its doors, it recommended that the prosecution authority investigate further and possibly prosecute up to 400 cases. And they also handed over some 500 cases of missing persons. So in fact, the prosecutors and the police had several hundred matters on their books, and the vast majority of them have not been pursued. And this has been enormously problematic for the families. And many of the families have been knocking on the doors of the police and the prosecutors, trying to push their cases, seeking answers from the investigators. And very sadly, with the exception of less than a handful that took place shortly after the commission closed its doors, 99.9% of the cases have not been pursued. And we've been puzzled as to why this has been the case. It certainly couldn't have been because there was no evidence. In many of these cases, they were only referred because, in fact, there was evidence to be pursued. Many in the media and amongst victim organizations have speculated that perhaps it's because of a particular policy or decision that was taken. And others have speculated that perhaps it was political interference that caused these cases to simply be abandoned.
In fact, if I can just add to that, in one of the media reports, the former National Director of Public Prosecutions, Vusi Piccoli, is quoted as saying that there was, in fact, political interference which caused these cases not to move forward. And this claim of his is in his affidavit, which is part of the submission.
That's right. So for the first time in compiling this case, we were in a position to speak to individuals who were, in fact, required under law to pursue these cases. And as we now see from their affidavits filed before court in relation to Mr. Piccoli, who was the National Director of Public Prosecutions at the time between 2005 and 2007, and one of his chief prosecutors, who was in charge of a unit which was meant to pursue these cases, Advocate Anton Ackerman, he's also confirmed that his attempts to pursue justice in these cases were brought to a halt. And the truth is now out. In fact, the government at the time took a view that these cases shouldn't be pursued, and placed insurmountable obstacles in the path of both the National Director and the prosecutors. And their affidavits make for very interesting reading. They even attach correspondence between the Office of the National Director and the Minister of Justice, as well as a memorandum which had to be attached to an in-camera affidavit because it was marked secret. And it sets out in nuts and bolts how it was that elements within various ministries and departments lent on the National Prosecuting Authority not to take these cases forward. And it all came to a head in September of 2007, when Mr. Piccoli was called into meetings with cabinet ministers and essentially read the Riot Act, to Mr. Piccoli's credit, he stood up to them and insisted that under the Constitution and under law, he was entitled to make decisions in relation to prosecutions and that he intended to proceed. For his pains, he was suspended from office literally days later, and the chief prosecutor who was in charge of these cases was summoned into the office of the acting national director and told that he was relieved of his responsibility in relation to those cases with immediate effect. And so from September 2007, there hasn't been a single case that has been taken up. They've been allowed to die a natural death. I think we can conclude on the basis of that evidence that the TRC cases, the ones that had been recommended prosecution, they have not seen the light of day, and it is by no means an accident. It's because of political interference that was brought to bear on those who were charged with taking these cases forward.
Howard, what do you think will be the impact of the case that you are bringing up right now? Because the two possible avenues are either a prosecution or a judicial inquest. What do you think will be how will the case unfold in your view?
Yes, the family, in particular the sister of the disappeared woman, Nokutula Somalani, seeks primarily to have the court order the prosecuting authority to set up a judicial inquest before the High Court. And the reason why they prefer this relief is because then their lawyers will be entitled to subpoena the perpetrators and to cross-examine them during the course of the judicial inquest, and then hopefully get to the truth. And a prosecution, depending on the finding of the judge hearing the inquest, the prosecuting authority may then be obliged to prosecute those who the inquest court finds responsible. In the alternative, they seek relief in which they want the court to compel the prosecuting authority to make a decision, a prosecutorial decision, which could be a decision to prosecute or a decision not to prosecute. I should add that in the founding affidavit, Tembi, the sister of Nokutula, says she has lost all faith in the prosecuting authority and the police to do a proper job. And that's why at this stage they simply prefer the inquest so that their own lawyers can take the matter forward. I should also add that they seek additional relief, which is a declaration of their rights. The South African Constitution upholds the right to human dignity. It also upholds the right to equality. And it says that the rule of law is a fundamental premise of South Africa's new society. And in their papers, they set out why their human dignity has been violated. And they set out in some detail the anguish at the failure to take this matter forward over some 30 years has caused the family. So we seek a declaration of rights. We want the court to rule that their human dignity has been deeply violated, as well as their right to equality, because only because they happen to be victims of so-called political cases, that fact alone has caused this case to be suppressed. And that's also a violation of their right to equal treatment. And of course, if South Africa truly upholds the rule of law, then there can be no preferential treatment, be they perpetrators of one crime or another, or be they victims of one class of crime or another. Justice ought to be blind. We want the court to make a ruling that the policy or approach of the government to the so-called political cases of the past has violated the rule of law, and furthermore has violated South Africa's obligations under international law to provide these victims and their families with an effective remedy, namely truth, accountability and justice.
Well, Howard Varney, we will certainly keep a very close eye on the progress of this case, especially since it has a larger significance in terms of an attempt to address what has been almost complete disregard of the South African government for the recommendations made by the TRC. We wish you a very good luck in this effort, and as I said, we'll be keeping a close eye on the progress and reporting to our listeners. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Rafik.
And to all our listeners, thank you for being with ICTJ's podcast series. Until the next time, goodbye.